God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few years ago, my son, one of my sons, who'll go nameless, was finishing a project, or at least close to finishing a project for school. And I happened by his room just as he was throwing up his hands in despair and giving up. And I went in and talked to him a little bit about that and said, you know, you're this close to the goal, soccer player, you're this close. All you need to do is kick the ball, finish what you're doing, and then you can move on to other things. Just finish it. You've come all the way down the field. You're almost there. Can you just finish it? And he really didn't feel like it. He wanted to go down and play video games or who knows what, anything but finish the project. I'm pretty sure he finished the project. Whether you're a parent or not, you know the feeling. You have a requirement that you want this person to complete, not because you've come up with some abstract list of rules and regulations and, you know, homework is one of them, but because in this case I knew that if he would just follow through and finish it, not only would he get hopefully a good grade, but he'd also be practicing a habit that will carry him well into life. It would be good for him. I long for him to just get it done. It's this emotional element, this personal connection that is behind the word in Micah chapter 6 that we read last week when it says, you know what God requires of you. That's the idea behind this word requires. You remember the verse, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And that word require is not just because God is, or not at all because God is some rule maker who wants us just to do what he tells us to do, but because God loves us so much and knows that this is what will be good for us and for the world we live in. Maybe another way to even take it a little more deeply is to think of how a child requires the love of adults, of others around that child. And how hard it is when a child doesn't experience that. A child can make it, they can do well in life without that love, but they're always seeking that love because they require it. And that's part of what we're about as a church, is we want to provide that love that children require. That's part of the reason we're so committed here to our Sunday school programs, our Wednesday night programs, to all these things that we do, even our children's choirs. They're not just about teaching kids how to do music, important as that is, but because we want to love our children. We want them to know we care. And so in everything we do, we try to communicate that. Children require that love. Kind of odd to think that God requires that love too. That God needs that, wants that. In fact, that's why God created us. Was because God wanted to experience that love with us. We need that. God needs that. We long for it. How amazing to think God longs for that too. We were created for this. We were created in God's image. And that's not that we look physically like God, but because our hearts were made for love. This is an intrinsic requirement of what it means to be human. He has told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Last week we spoke about how these things, this doing justice, this loving kindness, are like trail markers on this walk that Jesus invites us to be on with him. That when we begin to lose our way, we're not sure where God is going in our world or in our lives, we can look for these two trail markers and we can discern the direction to be walking with God. And so this morning, let's take a little bit of time to talk about these two trail markers. Doing justice, loving kindness. The word justice in the Bible is most often associated with just a few words, nine in fact. The widow, the fatherless, the orphan, the needy, the weak, the poor, the hungry, the oppressed, the stranger, the alien. Isn't that interesting? All these words speak of people who are vulnerable. When the Bible speaks about justice, the Bible speaks about offering justice, working for justice, doing justice on behalf of those who have the most difficulty obtaining justice. That's a challenging word for most of us here at Salem Covenant Church, because justice is something that most of us just expect. We can get that pretty easily in our society and in our world. And that's appropriate. God wants justice for all people. That's clear in the scriptures. But there's no question that most often when justice, the term justice comes up, when doing justice is called out from us, it's for us to do justice, to obtain justice on behalf of those who are the least, those who are the most vulnerable. So what does that mean in our society today? When we hear, you know, all lives matter, and we hear black lives matter, when we think about those who have the hardest time getting justice, what's God's call for us in this world? I've got to be honest, I really wrestle with this. I don't know about you, maybe you have all the answers. But for me, in the midst of the complex issues of our day, I struggle with this. I pray about this. I fret about this. I know from having talked to you that we have people in our congregation, if you can believe this, if you're a Democrat, we actually have Republicans in our congregation. If you're a Republican, I just want to let you in on something. We have some Democrats here in our congregation. And we're going into a long presidential election season right now. And we're going to be hearing statements from both sides of the aisle about what we need to be doing. They're going to be crying out to us for us to consider our own interests, and that's appropriate. Your interest, your good is important. But in the midst of us wrestling through this season ahead, keep in mind that the scriptures call us to care about the most vulnerable. So what does it mean for you as you wrestle with your vote, as I will wrestle with mine, to be about doing justice? I wish I had an easy answer for you, and some churches you could go to today, I'm sure they would give you it. But I want to challenge you to join me in wrestling with this question. Loving kindness, I got to be honest, doesn't get much easier, does it? On one level, maybe. We read just a few moments ago in the book of James, where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Maybe in a simple way, this is to say, in the midst of our politically strained times, our polarized times, when it's so easy on the internet and Facebook and emails or on TV or wherever it might be for us to zing out one-liners, to see the holes in other people's arguments, to be blind to our own, that in the midst of all of that, we're called to be people who love kindness, that we would be characterized as followers of Jesus Christ, as people who are passionate about showing kindness to others, even in the midst of disagreement. That's not easy, but that's our call. Maybe it gets a little more difficult when it comes home for us in our own families or at the workplace or here at church from time to time. That we can practice loving kindness, being passionate about responding with kindness as opposed to reacting in anger or with meanness, that we would keep this trail marker out in front of us, that we're seeking to love kindness all the way along the trail. Of course, the question comes up, how much kindness? How far do you have to go? You know that story in Matthew chapter 25 that Jesus tells. As he is coming toward the end of his time here, and he's talking to his disciples about his expectations for them, for us, and he says that, you know, a day is coming when the sheep and the goats will be separated out, and the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry." Oh, here we go again. With those who are vulnerable. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." You know, as we look for where Jesus is in our world, where he's walking, where that trail is, if we look for those who are most in need, most vulnerable, that's where we'll find him. If we're seeking to do justice, to show kindness to those who are the least in our world, we will undoubtedly find Jesus there. And we'll find ourselves walking with him. And as I mentioned last week, we sing this song, "Oh, you know, Jesus, come walk with me." But Jesus prays to us. He sings to us, "Come walk with me." And if we want to walk with Jesus, here's the place we're most likely to find him. It's going to be walking alongside those who are most in need in our world. And so I want to invite you to come to this World Vision experience this week. Come walk through this truck and see Jesus walking in places like Syria and in Chad and in Congo. Come and see where Jesus is walking. And let your heart be broken. Let your spirit be drawn in. Wrestle with me and with God, with each other. What does it mean for us to do justice in this world? What does it mean for us to show kindness in this world? How much do we need to do? That's part of the question. What is it that God requires of us? I think of Mother Teresa, who never felt like she did enough. But I got to be honest, I have a feeling she's done a lot more than I've ever done. What does the Lord want from us? Does he want a burnt offering? Calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased if we give him 10,000 rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? What is it that God wants from us? We have to keep wrestling with this, but we know the answer. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And if that doesn't challenge you, I'm not sure what will. But hear the good news in the midst of it. Because I find myself at times about to be overwhelmed, even in preparing this sermon. This question is so big. But here's the good news. That Jesus longs for us to just walk with him on the path. His grace is sufficient for us as we walk with him. The tension will never go away. You'll never figure out, okay, now I've done justice. Now I've loved kindness. I'm done with the question. You're going to live with that tension until the day you die or Jesus comes back. But we can walk in the midst of that tension with joy, with gratitude, with thanksgiving to God, because Jesus is walking in the midst of that tension with us. He's walking with us in this very real world with us. And he loves you just as he loves that person who's in need of justice and kindness. You too are in need of that. And Jesus knows that. And so I'd invite you to walk this path with me and with one another, with Jesus, remembering to give thanks to him every step of the way. There's a joy that God calls us to experience even in the midst of the tension. His grace is sufficient. And as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, even as he says to work out our salvation, this life we're called to live with fear and trembling, he says that God is at work in you, helping you both to want to do and to do his good pleasure. And so by God's grace, let us continue walking, committing ourselves to doing justice, to loving kindness, to doing better and better, and trusting God's grace every step of the way. Would you pray with me? I would invite you as we pray to ask God what it means for you this week, this year, to commit yourself to doing justice, working for justice. To ask God to show you what it means in your life to practice loving kindness a little more. God, as we come before you this morning, we confess our sin. We have fallen short of your glory, of your call. We have participated, Lord, in systems, in society, that are good for us and not as good for others. We, Lord, have chosen not to show kindness at times. And even when we have shown kindness, we have often done so with ulterior selfish motives. We confess to you, Lord, that we want justice for all, but we especially want it for ourselves, and we would prefer not to lose any of our privileges in the process of offering justice for others. We confess to you, Lord, that we fall short, that in the complexities of our world, we are not sure just what it means to do justice. Grant us the humility, O God, to listen to your voice. Grant us the humility, Lord, to listen to the voices of the poor and of the hungry and of the needy and of the oppressed. Grant that we, people created in your image, may find our hearts breaking as yours does at the sight of refugees driven out of their homes, out of their lives through war and violence. Grant us the grace, O Lord, to have our hearts broken for those whose lives are being trafficked, who are living as slaves, more today than ever in the history of the world. Help us, O God, to know how to do justice and to love kindness, to walk with you, and to serve your good purposes in this world. And grant us, God, the grace not to become paralyzed by our confusion, but to take the next steps that you call us to take, including this week as we have this world vision experience. Guide us, Lord, as to what it means to walk with you humbly and attentively, walk with you every day that you give us. And thank you for the privilege it is, the joy it is for us to walk with you on this path of life. As we have been loved, so grant us the grace to share your love with others. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.